Good afternoon. You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM. My name is William English, and today's guest is Denise Horatio. Good afternoon, Denise.
Good afternoon, William.
How do we describe you? A multidisciplinary artist, I think.
That's correct. Yes, that's what I say.
What does that mean?
It means that I work in a number of mediums and materials, including, in this my case, printmaking, video, installation, bookworks, etc.
Right, yeah. Experimental film?
Ah, yes, that's true. I have done some film work. Yes.
Okay.
And I studied film.
Yeah.
Experimental film.
You're a Canadian-born artist. You've lived in London since 1985, apparently. What brought you to London? Why did you come to London from Canada?
I was studying at the time at the San Francisco Art Institute, and I was I had a British artist named Tony Sinden.
Filmmaker
and installation.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I was doing my MFA, and he was my course leader at the time, and I was introduced to British art, and I came over here I was supposed to be for 6 months to a year to study independently with him and Guy Sherwin, actually.
Oh, right. So were they both teaching at San Francisco? Or?
They were both teaching there.
Right.
Off and on, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And when did you start work? Was it about, I see from your CV that you were doing things actually as early as 1979. Is that right? Or?
That's a bit of a stretch, but
is it? I found a print. There's a print listed somewhere.
True. Yes, my first print was 1979.
A print called "Autopsy Revealed: Dolly Died from Collapsed Lungs," etching 1979.
Yes, that's interesting that you mention that, because I cite that as my first, my own true piece of work.
Right.
Yes, where I took an etching plate and I took it to a hospital, a local hospital. I was actually still at school. And I asked someone to perform an autopsy on it.
On the etching plate?
On the etching plate, yes.
Wow.
So it was in Kingston, Ontario at the time.
Right.
And I suppose that was the beginning of my interest in work that was going beyond the studio.
Yeah.
And involving everyday life, involving materials beyond the studio.
Right.
And bringing
right.
life. Everyday life into the work, into the practice. And so I got this autopsy performed.
Right. And what was the reason? How do you do an autopsy on an etching plate?
It was a drawing. A drawing that he did. And it just so happens, it was quite interesting because it was in Kingston, Ontario, where the largest number of prisons are in Ontario, and the particular person who performed it, he said, you know, we get a lot of people who have committed suicide because of being in prison, and he even drew this arm, and on the arm he did a tattoo, like a little mother in a heart tattoo, and he said, it's because I see so many prisoners.
All right. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we can talk more about the prints later, but those tracks which we started with are from a CD that you brought with you, and they're from, well, the first one was Kathy Acker, and the second one was William Burroughs. from something called Language Removal Services, and you particularly wanted those to be played. So, is there some personal significance, or you just, or do they relate to something you're doing at the moment? Or?
They relate to a project that I've been doing ongoing since 1993, called the Spotlight Project. And the Spotlight is the entertainment industry's main casting resource.
Right.
And I required about 1993, I required several editions, and I began cutting out the faces and rebinding the books.
So let's start with, I mean, this Spotlight is like it's quite a thick annual, isn't it?
Yes.
And it contains photographs and descriptions of, are they models or actresses or actors or?
They're all actors.
One
One book is all male actors, and the other is all female actors.
Oh, right,
actresses.
Okay. Yeah.
And what they contain is, on one side, it's two pages, and on one side is a, you know, still kind of studio-looking image of a photograph of...
They're all black and white, aren't they?
Yeah, black and white individual photograph of the actor or the actress.
Yeah.
And on the other side is the name, right?
Right.
And
so it's like a directory.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the size of a dictionary, isn't it?
Yeah.
That kind
of,
it's as thick as a dictionary, it's a big dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose it's for people sort of what in the trade to look through the directory and find what types of people that might fit into, well, for an acting role or for an advertisement or something.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the date of the one that you have?
Well, I've been doing this for a long time, so I've had several different editions. Most of them have been 93, 94,
right.
92. Yeah.
Did you select that period for any reason, or was it just random?
No, it's a coincidence. I happened to know an actress who had kept hers for years because she was in it, and she gave me her copies.
Right.
And then I just found them in a junk market. You know, originally.
All right. So then you have, do you want to describe it, or shall we try and describe it between us?
Yes.
Basically, you've cut out each face. So this directory of literally hundreds and hundreds of black and white photographs. You cut very carefully, don't you, around the hairline probably and the face.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is removed from the directory all the way through the book.
That's correct.
And each one is different. So each one is a different shape.
Mm-hmm.
So then as you're turning the pages, you can see through the book, in fact. It almost forms a sort of tunnel, but not quite. It's like a sort of disturbed tunnel. Mm-hmm. And so each page produces actually a variation on the previous pages. There's like a sort of a succession. And the effect is actually quite extraordinary, isn't it? Because you see a name underneath. In fact, we have a copy of the book here with us. I can't reach out for it because otherwise I'll leave the microphone. But if you turn maybe a couple of pages and read out a name or something. No? All right.
Well, that's the interesting thing, because I do... Because
gives an example of a name.
Oh, that
I can
Adam
see
Norton.
I can see from here Jim Norton.
Yes.
Adam Norton.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not alphabetical then, is it?
No, it's in relation. It goes in terms of types of characters.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So as you get deeper and deeper into the book, you can start sort of. If you got halfway through the book, you can see. It hardly forms a tunnel because they're quite obscure. But it's. Could I say it's almost the images of almost like a sort of Francis Bacon painting in a way, aren't they?
Hmm.
They're sort of faces that have got a sort of shifting.
Yes,
quality about them. They're very striking images, actually.
That's why I was just saying back to the first pieces that we played, which was the Language Removal Services. That's, to me, it was the audio equivalent of this visual work that I've done, this
right.
kind of removal.
And yeah.
So that was the idea, to play those pieces, because what you've left with is just remnants or fractured parts of people, you know,
right.
And together, when you look through the book, you look through like a labyrinth of fractured images.
Right.
I mean, the cutout is a very historical, artistic and literary technique, you know, going back to the Dadaist, to the Beat poets, etc. And there are quite, in Britain, there is John Stesica, who's very famous for doing collage and cutout work. But what his work is usually two or more images, usually two or three
images. Superimposed or?
Yeah, and cut out and paste.
Right.
This one we have, you know, I counted in one image like eight fragments because you're going through the pages.
Right.
And so what I've done, as I said earlier, I've taken stills of some of the pages.
Yeah.
And that's quite nice because I've taken these stills and I've blown them up to 38 by 50 inches.
So, the one I'm looking at the moment, you can see a man's sort of shirt, and you get his shoulders with a black jacket, white shirt, and a tie. But his face becomes, he's virtually faceless, but he's kind of made up of a bunch of images that are behind that page.
Mm-hmm.
Which produces quite a disturbing effect. It's like nothing else, really. It's quite a unique process. And from this, you've produced various images, photographic prints.
Andrew Wilson wrote about the book in a showroom.
Yeah.
And he called it a disruptive sequences of voided realities.
Right, right. Nice. And I like, there's a good quote from Peter Sellers, isn't there, actually?
Oh, yes, that's quite interesting.
What was that? I've got that written down somewhere. Perhaps you've got, can you lay your hands on the quote from Peter Sellers?
It says, Peter Sellers was once, he was actually speaking to Hermit the Frog in the Muppet Show in 1977.
Right.
And he said, if you asked me to play myself, I would not know what to do. I would not know who I am. Or what I am. There used to be a me behind the mask, but I had it surgically removed.
Right.
Disturbing.
Yeah. Sorry. And that sort of, there is a correspondence between that quote and you selected that quote, presumably.
Yeah, I came across it and I thought.
Because it is, what was the first title of this project?
Cutouts, yeah.
But there was something about a soul or something?
Oh, yeah. I used to, at one point when I was showing it, in one time I produced these little business cards that said soul removal services.
Right.
I remember someone getting quite upset when I handed it to him.
Yeah.
But it was because of, it was this idea that, you know, the old-fashioned idea that, you know, if you take a photograph of someone, you're taking a photograph of their soul, like this sort of superstitious idea.
Yeah.
But it comes back to, in a serious sense, of this idea of representation and the photograph representing one person. You know, that sort of, I've always sort of challenged and tried to question that idea within representation.
But also, you haven't actually completely discarded the faces. You kept the faces, didn't you, that were cut out of
That's
the book?
That's true, yes.
And those faces were then used as an installation somewhere else, where you just stuck all the faces all over a wall, which, again, is sort of striking in its own way. So you do value the faces. You haven't decided just to throw them away.
Yes, I have kept them. I've kept all the parts, in a sense, you know.
Right.
And all the parts have kind of sometimes come together to form some installations with it. But I wonder if we could play the second piece that I was brought in today.
Okay. So this is by Milan. I think I have trouble with the name as well. I always say, I call him Knižák, or because he's a Czechoslovakian artist, sort of well known for this CD, which is called Broken Music, from 1979. Okay, well, we'll fade that track out. It goes on for another minute. That's Milan Knežak from Broken Music. It's one of the tracks that Denise Horatio has brought with her this afternoon. You particularly like that track?
Again, I think it relates to the project that I'm, some of the work that I'm doing. I like work that sort of, like I said, makes itself, something that sets something else up. And I mean, this work, the Broken Music work, as we know, it's collage, collage with sound.
Right? Well, I think he often used to cut records in half and glue two different records back together, and so the needle jumps around and so on. Mm-hmm. And that sort of, if I look through your CV of installations, there is a certain, what should we call it, empathy there with your approach. For instance, there's one that you did in 2001 called In the Full Light of Reason. And most of your installations seem to include plasterboard walls, which are then, shall we say, distressed in some way. This particular one involved three Montreal youths who were invited to axe the walls without breaking through. So there is, I think a lot of your installations have this element of, where could you, a wall being attacked or savaged almost. There was another one which involved a bushwhacking knife, I think, where somebody sets about the wall with a knife.
Yeah, that really, yeah, I did a long series of wall pieces, wall installation, mark-making pieces,
yes,
I call them.
But they're all walls that have been attacked, aren't they?
Distressed, yes.
Yes.
Distressed. There's a sort of dysfunction in them, that's for sure.
You know? Right.
Again, like, funny thing is that the wall pieces, the book pieces, and the print pieces, the intaglio pieces, they're all, intaglio means to cut into.
Right.
And it's interesting. There is a kind of funny connection between the piece of the book piece is cutting into, the wall pieces is cutting into, and like I said, intaglio itself, which is one of the things I do.
So, I mean, the process of etching is in itself a cutting into the surface of something, isn't it?
Yeah. You're cutting through a ground, but it's a cutting through into something. It's
well, it involves acid. It all involves acid, doesn't it? I mean, engraving originally was the cutting in, and then I think etching involved acid eating into the surface of metal.
Mm-hmm.
And this seems to be a sort of recurring theme of your of your work. And in some cases, you've asked other people to participate in this. There's one piece where I think you wore a metal plate as a, almost like a performance piece.
Yes, that's a recent piece, actually.
Is
it's
it?
Played as Shield. That was just done 2 years ago now. It's called Played as Shield, and I wore an etching plate.
I mean, it looks almost like a bulletproof vest as you're wearing it.
It was a funny connection to that idea, yes.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a serendipitous kind of connection. It was about, because like I said, a lot of the work is about going out into some environment usually as well, like, and the plates, the etching plates have been taken into the, into an environment, into a space, into a time. This is, again, this idea of taking the etching plate beyond the studio. And all those plates, say plate as shield, they're all the different plates were worn in different parts of London where there had been a stabbing, actually.
Oh, right.
One of them is called Plate as Shield as I Walk Through Peckham.
Right.
Because they're all based on an incident that happened where there was a stabbing. You know how there was a record number of stabbings in London
a
couple of years ago? And I kept on hearing about it. And then, like, so another one is etching plate as shield in case I had to intervene in a confrontation because someone was stabbed because they were intervening in a conversation. In a shop, you know. So I restaged it with a plate sewn onto my jacket.
Right.
That's a series of three etching plate as shield.
Yes.
So I guess there's a connection to this idea of perhaps an aggressive, violent act.
It's almost like you're wearing the art as a sort of as a protection for yourself. It's as though you're vulnerable, and the art becomes a kind of defense against the world or something.
It is about. I don't think it's my personal vulnerability. It's about our vulnerability, you know, the world as a vulnerable place.
Yeah.
In fact, I did get a review in a show in from Toronto I did last summer that mentions that. It mentions that it is about our vulnerability in the world.
Right. And another there's another one here called Brick with the Marks of Its Making and Unmaking, Etching 2009. And there's a quote here to describe this work. And it says, "Finger marks from the guy whose job I stole and marks from the chip that fell off my shoulder."
Yes.
is this you or is this people in general?
Oh, those are text pieces that go with the marked plate, you know, etching plate, latch marks from the door that slams in my face,
right.
Marks from the chip that fell off my shoulder.
Yeah.
They're semi-fictitious in the sense that the plate had the door slammed on it, right?
Right.
And there's kind of a tongue-in-cheek text that goes with it.
It's right.
Sort of a bit of a parody.
So there's humor combined with...
tragedy, I suppose. Yeah. A mixture of tragedy.
Okay. So what's your ongoing project? Is it the Spotlight project? Is this the one that is your most current piece?
The Spotlight project is ongoing. I'm making a book of the book. I'm taking some of the stills from the book, because the book is so fragile, actually, and is so hard to handle now, particularly the female one, because when you cut out all the hair, it almost becomes lace-like, you know, because there's so much cut out from it.
Yeah.
So I'm just in the process of taking stills and then of some of the individual shots, and then I'm going to put that into a book, so it'll be a book of a book.
Right.
And I'm still on going with my intaglio printmaking projects as well. Can we play
indeed what should we play next? You've got several possibilities. You've brought Pierre Schaeffer.
Yes, I'd love to play the Pierre Schaeffer.
Or there's a Kurt Schwitters or a Stuart Brisley or something by Jeremy Deadman.
Let's try the Schaeffer.
All right, well, that will probably just about bring us to the end. Maybe not. 1:30. Okay, let's go for that one. Okay, so that was Pierre Schaeffer, Erotica from 1950, and that was the third track chosen by Denise Horatio for this afternoon's program. Is that a particularly significant track for you, Denise?
Actually, I've came across his work much later in my practice, but I originally wanted to play a Steve Reich piece. Because when I was studying film at the San Francisco Art Institute, he was someone that was very prominent in terms of his work. And the idea, again, of this, of also the idea of repetition. I did, as I say, as William said, as you said, I did some film work. And in a way, book works is began as this idea of repetition. You know?
Right.
That's how I first started making my first book piece.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I did, when my film pieces involve this idea of repetition and duration as well.
The film piece, is it? I think that's mentioned in Nicky Hamlin's book, isn't it? Film Art Phenomena.
Yes, it's correct.
And that's a Super 8 film. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Can you describe the process of that? It's quite an unusual filming process. I think, is it attached to a shovel or something?
Yes. Again, this
the camera,
back to this idea of something making itself or being able to take beyond my own hand, you know. I attached Super 8 Super 8 cameras, right? Mm-hmm. To different objects, different tools, machinery. So I did a jackhammer. One of the first ones I did in London was to a jackhammer.
Oh, wow.
And in fact, it's being played this summer.
Is that like one of those, it's not one of those sort of steam hammer things, is it?
A drill, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Wow. So the camera must shake like anything.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, so I've done at least 8 or 9 different attached camera pieces. Originally, they were silent, and with my partner John Wynn, he's added some sound to it. So they've become now they're DVDs with some sound pieces that go with them.
Okay, I think we're going to have to wind it up there.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Denise Horatio, for coming in. You've been listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4. FM, and I suppose we could play a bit of Kurt Schwitters until the next program.
Sounds good.
Kurt Schwitters spricht Teile seiner Sonate mit Urlauten.
Oh, der Bebe, der Bebe, Finsbe, der Bebe, Finsbe. Buffins bevete, firms bevete, zeu, pegif, vie, de de sinner iem pituto, de, du, ka, rinsek de bebe hinskermu, zeu hinset zeu rinskermu, raket de bebe, rum, de, to, zeu hinset zeu hinskermu, zeu hinset zeu rinskermu, raket de bebe, Racket B C, Fums B V T C U, U T T V B Fums, O B B B B B, O T T T T T, O. Sakata B B O Mta Mta O Lanka Torgil Pepepepe Oka 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 Lanka Torgil Pipi 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 Tsuka 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 Lanka Torgil Rum Rum Lanka Torgil Tiulum trill, lum tum trill, lanka torgel, rum tum to, lanka torgel, tiulum trill, lum tum trill, lanka torgel, pe 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 pe, oka, 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 lanka torgel, pi 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 pi, tsuka, 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 lanka torgel, rum, rum, lanka torgel. See you.